From the office to a first date, there's a lot of pressure to wear the right clothes for every situation. But clothes don't make the man. With Mack Weldon, you can build a wardrobe that looks polished in any setting and tells the world that you stay you wherever you go. They combine timeless style with modern performance materials to keep you looking good and feeling comfortable all day, no matter what's on today's agenda. Browse everything from shorts and polos to sweats and crews. Go to MackWeldon.com and get 25% off your first order of $125 or more with promo code MACK25. That's MACKWELDON.com. Promo code MACK25.
Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout. Dreaming of blissful summer days and creamy popsicles? Capture sun-drenched memories with the Orange Vanilla Dream Hydration Multiplier from Liquid IV. Just one stick and 16 ounces of water can help hydrate you better than water alone. Live your summer dream with Liquid IV. Tear, pour, live more. Go to liquidiv.com and get 20% off your first order with code INDULGE20 at checkout.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast with Tony Bruschi and continuing coverage of the case against Rex Huerman.
It's a strange thing, the power of a tattoo. A tiny piece of ink meant to represent some little moment of rebellion, affection, or a nickname from your past. Usually it's something simple, forgettable even, but sometimes it becomes everything. Sometimes that little mark is the only clue left behind, the last piece of evidence whispering, "This was me. I was here." For nearly three decades, investigators in Nassau County, New York, only had a single detail to identify the woman whose torso was found stuffed into a plastic tub back in the summer of 1997. It wasn't her name or even her fingerprints. It was a small tattoo of a peach. For years, everyone, from seasoned detectives to amateur online sleuths, knew her simply as Peaches. It was the nickname investigators used out of necessity, a placeholder that unintentionally became permanent. Peaches had no known past, no grieving family members publicly searching for her, no missing persons poster with her smiling face to jog someone's memory. Just that tattoo, a quiet symbol that stubbornly insisted she was real and mattered. But this spring, after years of haunting anonymity, Peaches finally got her real name back. Nassau County Police, working closely with the FBI, officially identified her as Tanya Denise Jackson. Tanya wasn't just a Jane Doe. She was a 26-year-old mother, a former U.S. Army veteran, and she was from Alabama originally. Investigators didn't stop there. They also identified the remains of the toddler discovered alongside her as her own daughter, 2-year-old Tatiana Marie Dykes. If this was a movie, this would be the moment. You'd see determined agents hunched over their computer screens, coffee cups piling up, sifting through databases until they found that one elusive thread. And honestly, reality wasn't all that different this time. The breakthrough came from the kind of advanced forensic genealogy that makes your head spin, using DNA recovered from Tanya's remains and cross-referencing it through ancestry databases. You know those family tree websites people casually upload their DNA to for fun, to find out how Irish or Scandinavian they might be? Turns out, they can be lifesavers, literally. Investigators traced Tanya's family connections through distant relatives, piecing together branches of a family tree scattered across America until they found a match. Once they had their tentative identification, it was only a matter of confirming it with direct DNA samples from living family members. And just like that, after nearly 30 years, the mystery of Peaches and her baby was solved. A breakthrough that must have felt something like turning on a flashlight in a dark attic you've been searching through blindly, finally seeing clearly what was hidden in the shadows all along. But Tanya's story isn't just about how she died. It's about who she was when she was alive. Tanya Denise Jackson was born in Alabama, and she took pride in serving her country. She wore the uniform from 1993 to 1995, stationed at bases across Texas, Georgia, and Missouri. Military life tends to teach people discipline, routine, order, qualities you'd expect to guide someone through the turbulent transitions of civilian life afterward. But things aren't always simple, and when Tanya left the Army, she didn't go back home. Instead, she headed north, landing in Brooklyn, New York, ready for a fresh start in a place famously promising second chances to anyone brave enough to seek them. Tanya settled into city life, found a job as a medical assistant, stable work, steady hours, the kind of life you'd build when you're responsible for someone else. Her little girl, Tatiana, was at the center of her world. Friends remembered Tanya as protective, responsible, and careful, often leaving her daughter with a trusted friend while she worked her shifts. To her co-workers and acquaintances, Tanya probably appeared as just another single mom navigating life's challenges. But beneath that routine surface, something was off, because when she vanished, no alarms immediately rang. No relatives filed a missing persons report. No neighbors knocked on her door to see if everything was okay. She disappeared quietly, almost invisibly, lost in the shuffle of millions of other New Yorkers. It's a heartbreaking irony that Tanya's own determination to build a private, independent life in Brooklyn ultimately contributed to the long delay in her identification. Her estrangement from her family back home meant nobody realized she was missing. Her employer and friends likely assumed she'd moved on, changed jobs, relocated without leaving forwarding information, something people did often enough, especially in the 90s. And with no official reports of a disappearance, police simply had nowhere to start. It's a tough reminder that the loneliest people in big cities can easily become invisible, even to those around them. But Tanya wasn't completely invisible. She had left a quiet trail, her car, a distinctive black 1991 Geo Storm, remembered by a few neighbors, her childcare routines with friends. These seemingly mundane details suddenly became vital clues, and that's precisely why, now with her identity finally confirmed, investigators have come forward again, asking the public to dig deep into their memories. They're hoping someone remembers something from back then. A conversation overheard, a strange visitor, the car parked in an odd place, or anything seemingly trivial that now, with hindsight, feels different. To shake loose these memories, Nassau County District Attorney Ann Donnelly has put out a reward of $25,000 for information that leads to answers about Tanya's final days. It's a bold move, openly admitting how much detectives need help from anyone who crossed paths with Tanya or Tatiana in the summer of 97. It's also a way of inviting the community into the investigation, reminding people that cold cases, despite their age, are still cases. Real victims, real families, and real consequences waiting patiently for resolution. So here we stand today. Tanya Jackson is no longer just Peaches. She was a soldier, a medical assistant, a mother. Her daughter Tatiana isn't just another unnamed child victim. She's been given her rightful identity back as well. They both mattered. And the hope now is that someone out there remembers them as vividly as the detectives who've spent years trying to learn their names. The tattoo that once served as the only proof that Tanya had existed is no longer the most important thing about her. Instead, it's a footnote in a much bigger, more human story of perseverance, struggle, and, hopefully, someday soon, justice. As Nassau County detectives start piecing together Tanya's final days and hours, they're not just hoping to solve a crime. They're trying to restore a little bit of dignity, a little bit of humanity, to a story that spent too long nameless and forgotten. And as they do, the larger puzzle of the infamous Gilgo Beach murders continues to loom large, casting its shadow over everything. Are Tanya and Tatiana isolated victims? Or are they tied to something darker, something wider, something that has haunted Long Island for years? The discovery of Tanya Jackson's torso at Hempstead Lake State Park in Nassau County back in 1997 was as baffling as it was chilling. A dismembered torso hidden in a plastic tub, no identification, no immediate clues, no apparent witnesses. At that time, it felt like a grotesque anomaly. Disturbing, but isolated. Just another tragic story filed away as unsolvable, gathering dust on a shelf in some basement police archive. But 14 years later, in 2011, that all changed dramatically. Investigators found more of Tanya's remains, not neatly hidden away, but scattered along Ocean Parkway near Jones Beach. And there, tragically nearby, lay another heart-wrenching discovery: skeletal remains of a toddler, later confirmed by DNA to be Tanya's daughter, Tatiana. The timing of these grim discoveries wasn't random. They happened during a massive search spurred by the high-profile disappearance of Shannon Gilbert, a young woman who vanished from nearby Oak Beach in 2010 after placing a frantic 911 call. While hunting for Shannon, police instead stumbled upon a nightmarish collection of bodies dumped along Gilgo Beach. It was as if they'd accidentally pulled back the curtain on a hidden cemetery stretching across the Long Island shoreline. Immediately, Tanya and Tatiana's case got swept into the broader, sensationalized coverage of the Gilgo Beach murders. Newspapers ran maps dotted with chilling little markers. Television specials wondered aloud about a single monstrous killer roaming Long Island, and amateur detectives online eagerly pieced together theories linking all these victims together. But beneath the surface, investigators quickly realized something didn't quite match up. While Tanya's remains were indeed found close enough to the Gilgo victims to raise suspicion, significant differences emerged that complicated any direct connection. Unlike most of the Gilgo Beach victims, who were typically found intact, Tanya's remains had been dismembered. This fact alone raised serious doubts in investigators' minds. Different killers often have distinct ways they operate, almost like personal signatures. Dismemberment suggested a distinct and different kind of perpetrator from the one responsible for victims, such as Melissa Barthelemy or Amber Costello, women whose intact bodies had also been found along the same stretch. The circumstances around Tatiana's discovery also stood apart starkly. Among all the tragic stories unearthed along Ocean Parkway, Tatiana's presence was uniquely horrifying. She was the only child found among victims who otherwise fit a relatively similar profile, typically younger adult women, often involved in sex work. Tatiana's inclusion drastically altered the assumed victim profile, raising troubling questions. Did it imply something different about the motives or methods behind her and Tanya's deaths? Did it point to a separate tragedy altogether, one simply hidden in the same convenient dumping grounds? Investigators had to remain open-minded. Just because remains share proximity doesn't always mean they share a perpetrator. In the years since the 2011 discoveries, forensic technology and investigative methods have improved drastically. Genetic genealogy, which led to Tanya and Tatiana's identification, has also successfully identified other Gilgo victims. Yet, despite these shared investigative techniques and their proximity to the infamous Gilgo Beach crime scenes, Nassau County authorities have consistently emphasized there is currently no direct forensic or circumstantial evidence linking Tanya and Tatiana to the crimes Rex Huerman stands accused of committing. This careful, deliberate distinction has been repeated clearly by Nassau County officials, not out of caution alone, but out of respect for evidence-based investigation. Detectives and prosecutors are acutely aware of the dangers of rushing to conclusions based solely on geography or timing. While the public might understandably crave a unified, satisfying narrative, a single villain responsible for every body found along Ocean Parkway, investigators know real life rarely aligns so neatly. Moreover, there's a tactical reason for this caution. Blurring lines prematurely risks damaging ongoing investigations into both Tanya's case and the Gilgo Beach murders at large. Law enforcement has a responsibility to follow facts, even when those facts inconveniently disrupt the public's appetite for a clean, singular resolution. today as Tanya and Tatiana's case has been newly energized by their identification. Investigators remain methodical and cautious. Nassau County Detective Captain Stephen Fitzpatrick has publicly explained the official stance. Their murders are currently being treated as separate cases from the Gilgo Beach serial killings. Detectives remain open to the possibility of connections, of course, but as of now, the evidence simply isn't there to justify merging these investigations. This deliberate separation isn't just procedural. It's vital for preserving the integrity of each individual victim's case. Detectives are aware that prematurely lumping Tanya and Tatiana's deaths in with other Gilgo Beach murders might inadvertently obscure valuable leads unique to their case. Maybe a specific piece of evidence or a particular witness recollection doesn't align with the serial killer theory, but perfectly fits another narrative entirely. Treating Tanya and Tatiana's murders independently allows detectives to fully explore all avenues without bias. From the outside, this cautious separation might seem frustrating, like detectives are holding back. But in reality, it demonstrates their commitment to a genuine, thorough investigation. Each detail matters, and investigators are adamant about following where the evidence actually leads, not where headlines or public opinion might push them. It's important to remember, too, that criminal investigations are fluid. Just because no link currently exists between Tanya's killer and Rex Huerman, or any other known Gilgo suspect, doesn't mean one couldn't emerge later should new evidence surface. Investigators know better than most that cold cases have a way of thawing when least expected, often thanks to tips, forensic breakthroughs, or previously overlooked details finally clicking into place. And this is precisely why Nassau County is currently appealing so fervently for public assistance. Detectives openly acknowledge they need help reconstructing Tanya's and Tatiana's final weeks, days, and hours. The tiniest detail might unlock everything. A remembered face, a strange interaction at Tanya's workplace, an unfamiliar car spotted near her apartment. Investigators are urging anyone who remembers anything, even vaguely, to come forward. They know the answers are out there, likely tucked away in someone's memory, waiting to be triggered. This moment where Tanya and Tatiana's identities are newly known represents a critical window. Public interest is high, media coverage is widespread, and memories from 1997 may suddenly return with greater clarity. If there's a moment when a crucial tip might surface, it's likely right now, when the victims' names are finally spoken publicly, their faces finally seen again as real people rather than anonymous, numbered remains. And it's precisely this realness, this restored humanity to Tanya and Tatiana, that makes their case particularly compelling. They're no longer just two anonymous victims mistakenly assumed by many to fit neatly into the Gilgo Beach puzzle. They're individuals whose tragic story demands its own clarity, its own resolution. As authorities push forward, they're keenly aware that the only responsible way to seek justice for Tanya and Tatiana is to carefully separate fact from assumption, evidence from speculation. When Rex Huerman was arrested in July of 2023, it felt like Long Island itself held its breath. After decades of whispered fears and shadowy suspicions, the specter of the Gilgo Beach killer suddenly had a face, and to the shock of almost everyone, it wasn't a monster lurking in a dark alley, but a respected local architect from Massapequa Park. Huerman, then 59, was the kind of guy neighbors waved at casually when passing by on quiet suburban streets, never imagining the grim accusations that would later shake their sense of security to the core. By the time authorities brought Huerman into custody, they'd already built a meticulously detailed case against him. Officially, he faced charges connected to 7 murders spanning a decade, from about 2000 to 2010. Central among these victims were the so-called Gilgo Four: Melissa Barthelemy, Megan Waterman, Amber Costello, and Maureen Brainerd Barnes, young women who had worked as escorts and vanished under eerily similar circumstances. Each had been discovered wrapped in burlap and hidden in brush along Ocean Parkway near Gilgo Beach. Additionally, Huerman was accused in the deaths of three others, including Valerie Mack, whose remains were scattered between Gilgo and Manorville. In Suffolk County courtrooms, prosecutors laid out their case piece by painstaking piece, methodically detailing the web of evidence they'd woven around Huerman. At the heart of their argument was a trove of compelling forensic evidence, cell phone records meticulously traced and triangulated to locations connected with both Huerman and the victims, DNA evidence recovered from hairs and fibers, and unsettling digital breadcrumbs, searches, online activities, and records of burner phones, all allegedly tying Huerman directly to the victims. It was the kind of evidence that doesn't rely on guesswork or intuition, but instead on the clinical certainty of data and science. Yet as thorough as this investigation appeared, it remained narrowly focused. Suffolk County prosecutors were explicit and deliberate about the scope of the charges. Rex Huerman was being prosecuted solely for murders for which they believed they had airtight evidence. Nothing more, nothing less. No official or unofficial link was ever established between Huerman and the murders of Tanya Jackson or her daughter Tatiana, whose remains had similarly haunted Long Island's collective memory. Nassau County's announcement identifying Tanya and Tatiana was met with absolute silence from Suffolk prosecutors, not out of indifference, but out of cautious respect for the careful boundaries they were preserving around the integrity of their own case. Investigators have always understood the stakes here. It's tempting, especially given the close proximity of the various remains, to imagine a singular, terrifying figure behind every tragedy that unfolded along Ocean Parkway. But officials know better than to let conjecture or convenience dictate their actions. They're acutely aware that criminal justice is built on facts, not theories or dramatic narratives. It's one thing to suspect that Huerman's alleged crimes might extend beyond the known victims. It's another thing entirely to prove it beyond a reasonable doubt. Huerman himself, since his arrest, has vehemently maintained his innocence. His defense team is actively challenging the prosecution's interpretation of the evidence. Cell phone data, DNA matching techniques, and the context of his online behavior. Every step forward in court is rigorously contested. Suffolk County prosecutors, well aware of the spotlight shining on their every move, have proceeded methodically, ensuring every single piece of their puzzle holds up under scrutiny. Yet even as Rex Huerman's case continues its careful, deliberate march through the court system, the wider implications of the Gilgo Beach investigation loom large. The reality is that not every victim found along Ocean Parkway neatly aligns with the charges prosecutors have filed against Huerman. In fact, there's still a hauntingly unresolved element to the broader Gilgo investigation. One victim remains stubbornly unidentified. Known officially only as Asian John Doe, this individual's remains were discovered during the same 2011 searches that uncovered so many others. Forensic genetic genealogists, the same experts who finally gave Tanya Jackson and Tatiana their names, are working tirelessly to identify this last unknown victim, hoping to restore dignity and perhaps provide fresh investigative leads. This broader Gilgo investigation is a clear example of multi-agency collaboration at its best. The task force now working these cases isn't just Suffolk County's alone. It brings together Nassau County Police, New York State authorities, and the FBI. Such collaboration has proven instrumental in solving previously unsolvable elements of these cases. From the identification of Karen Vergata, another Gilgo victim identified through DNA, to Tanya and Tatiana's breakthrough. The combination of jurisdictional teamwork and advanced forensic science continues to redefine what's possible in solving cases that once seemed destined to remain permanently cold. But even with these triumphs, there's an uncomfortable truth lingering beneath the surface of the investigation. What if more than one predator used Gilgo Beach and its surrounding areas to conceal their crimes? The very idea is deeply unsettling, but law enforcement officials acknowledge that it remains a legitimate possibility. Gilgo Beach's isolated location, thick brush, and easy access from nearby roadways made it disturbingly ideal as a dumping ground. Investigators, especially now, remain cautious and realistic about the possibility of multiple unrelated offenders, each exploiting the same isolated, desolate stretch of shoreline. It's a troubling possibility that elevates public safety discussions on Long Island to a higher, more urgent level. If multiple killers independently saw this remote stretch of coastline as a safe place to hide their deeds, what does that say about the vulnerabilities in the community's security? The public is understandably uneasy. Arresting Rex Huerman undoubtedly felt like a victory, finally giving a tangible face to long-held fears. But even amid the relief, questions continue to gnaw at Long Islanders. Could someone else have been operating simultaneously or even separately, using the very same stretch of isolated shoreline to hide their secrets? It's an unsettling thought, one that authorities are forced to grapple with openly and honestly as they pursue every lead, every identification, every opportunity to uncover the full, complicated truth behind the haunting discoveries along Ocean Parkway. Right now, the Gilgo Beach Task Force remains committed to following evidence wherever it leads. Every newly identified victim, every forensic breakthrough, and every public tip moves the investigation forward piece by painstaking piece. But they also understand that each case, each victim is unique. Tanya Jackson and her daughter Tatiana, Karen Vergata, Valerie Mack, and the still unidentified Asian John Doe each have their own stories, their own circumstances, and possibly, tragically, their own individual perpetrators. As Rex Huerman's prosecution continues, the task force's dual focus remains clear. First, to ensure justice for the victims specifically tied to Huerman's charges. And second, to methodically and meticulously examine all the other open threads that continue to haunt Gilgo Beach. Each investigative step taken is guided by facts, by the careful accumulation of evidence, and by an unwavering commitment to the truth, no matter how uncomfortable or complicated that truth may ultimately be.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now, and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers Podcast.
Hi, I'm Kristen Bell, and if you know my husband, Dax, then you also know he loves shopping for a car. Selling a car? Not so much.
We're really doing this, huh?
Thankfully, Carvana makes it easy. Answer a few questions, put in your VIN or license, and done. We sold ours in minutes this morning, and they'll come pick it up and pay us this afternoon.
Goodbye, Truckee.
Of course, we kept the favorite.
Hello, other Truckee.
Sell your car with Carvana today. Terms and conditions apply.